Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Abbott, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick Radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California!
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope for this cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black me. Ow.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio.
It is Wednesday, May 15th, 2013. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris, as always. I should have a guest shortly. To the best of my knowledge, my guest for tonight will be Corporal Robinson. And, you know, I think a lot of people should be very familiar with him. His name is very, very well known, especially in the deathmatch realm of wrestling. But, you know, he's been all over the place, and he's been around for quite some time. So hopefully he'll be on just shortly with me. As last week, seemed to be meeting this way pretty regularly, my heater on my TV. So, you know, unlike the trouncing last week, we're actually down right now. So I'm hoping they come back, put the Bulls away, and then, you know, from there we could just sit there and wait for the I would imagine the Pacers to finish off the Knicks, and you know, but yeah, we'll, you know, probably get a little more into the basketball side of things a little later, and I definitely want to review the CZW show that they did over the weekend on Saturday. They did Proving Grounds, and I'm gonna review that, and I did not watch WWE at all this week, so I will not be reviewing that. Although I did see the two of the matches for the pay-per-view are apparently the tag titles are on the line against Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, and Dean Ambrose has a shot at, I think, the European title. So, you know, I would imagine those three guys are all going to walk out with straps, and then you're going to have the Shield doing their whole dominance thing with three titles. You know, I think that would be a really good look. And, yeah, I'm really hoping that's exactly the way that it's going to go down. And, you know, I guess we'll have to see. It's Extreme Rules. So hopefully some pretty good gimmick matches too, because, you know, that's one of the few things that'll actually get me tuned into WWE when these guys are forced to just do a little bit more than your standard, you know, pretty much traditional match. You see a lot of the same in WWE. So it's good to see them mix it up and come with some kind of innovation. And, you know, your ladder matches and your this and that, they have to mix things up a little bit more. I'm not really sure what the stipulations are. Like I said, I really haven't been in touch with the WWE stuff. I know Triple H and Brock are doing the whole steel cage thing. That could be good. It could be horrible, too. So, again, I guess we'll see. Speaking of gimmick matches, Tournament of Death is next month. So that's definitely a big one. Definitely want to go into the whole lineup for that too. Yeah, not the most thrilled in the world, so I guess we're going to see how that comes out. Still waiting on my guest to call in. It's kind of been a reoccurring situation with me. I'll have a guest and then I just sit there and tell you about how they're supposed to be coming on. So, you know, hopefully sooner than later. I think what I want to do at least right now is, again, I hate, you know, starting the show like this, but I'm probably going to grab a song, play it, and then see if I could, you know, give a couple minutes for my guest to pop on and, you know, figure out where I'm going to go from there, because otherwise I guess I can get into the CZW show and, you know, the lineup and whatever. Let me see. I know I had some tracks, at least from last week, if nothing else. Let me see. Yeah, I'll just put on this Eminem track and then come back to, you know, come back on if he pops on.
You know, I just don't get it. Last year I was nobody. This year I'm selling records. Now everybody wants to come around like I owe them something. Fuck you want from me? $10 million? Fuck out of here.
You see, I'm just Marshall Mathers.
Marshall Mathers.
I'm just a regular guy. I don't know why all the fuss about me.
Fuss about me.
Nobody ever gave a fuck before. All they did was doubt me.
It was doubt me.
Now everybody wanna run their mouth and try to take shots at me.
Take shots at me.
Yo, you might see me talking. You might see me walking. You might see me walking in dead rot while a dog with his head chopped off in the park with a spike collar. Hollering at him cause the son of a bitch won't quit barking. Or leaning out a window with a cocked shotgun. Driving up the block in the car that they shot Pac in. Looking for pig killers, dressing ridiculous. Blue and red, like I don't see what the big deal is. Double barrel 12 K's bigger than Chris Wallace. Pissed off cause Biggie and Pac dismissed all this. Watching all these cheap imitations get rich off them and get dollars that should have been theirs like they switched wallets. And amidst all this Chris popping and wristwatches, I just sit back and just watch and just get nauseous. And walk around with an empty bottle of Remy Martin, starting shit like this 26-year-old skinny car.
Goddammit!
And anti-Pax Street and Ricky Martin. His instincts to kill instinct, don't get me started. These fucking brats can't sing and Britney's garbage. What's this bitch retarded? Give me back my $16. All I see is Sissy the magazine smiling. Whatever happened to wilding out and being violent? Whatever happened to catching the good old fashioned passing it ass whooping and getting your shoes coat and your hat took it?
New kids on the block sucked a lot of dick. Boy girl groups make me sick. And I can't wait till I catch all you faggots in public. I'ma love it. Vanilla Ice don't like me. Said some shit vibe just fight me. They went and dyed his hair just like me. A bunch of little kids wanna swear just like me. Run around screaming, I don't care, just bite me. Nah, nah.
I think I was put here to annoy the world and destroy your little four-year-old boy or girl. Plus I was put here to put fear in faggots who spray fagel root beer and call themselves clowns cause they look queer. Faggots too dope and silent gay claiming Detroit when y'all live 20 miles away. And I don't wrestle, I'll knock you fucking faggots the fuck out. Ask them about the club they was at when they snuck out after they ducked out the back when they saw us and bucked out. Ducked down and got paintball shot at they truck loud. Look at y'all running your mouth again when you ain't seen a fucking mile road south of 10. And I don't need help from D12 to beat up two females and make up who may try to scratch me with Lee nails. Slim anus, you damn right slim anus. I don't get fucked in mine like you two little flaming faggots. Just Marshall Mathers.
Marshall Mathers.
I'm not a wrestler guy, I'll knock you out if you talk about me.
Talk about me.
Come and see me on the streets alone if you ask, don't doubt me.
Yes, don't doubt me.
And if you wanna run your mouth, then come take your best shot at me.
Best shot at me.
Is it because you love me that y'all expect so much of me? You little goofy bitch, get off me, go fuck Puffy. Now because of this blonde mop that's on top of this fucked up head that I've got, I've gone pop. The underground just spun around and did a 360. Now these kids diss me and act like some big sissies.
Oh,
he just did some shit with Missy. So now he thinks he's too big to do some shit with him to get busy. My fucking bitch mom suing for 10 million. She must want a dollar for every pill I've been stealing. Shit, where the fuck you think I picked up the habit? All I had to do was go in the room and lift up a mattress. Which is it, bitch, Mrs. Briggs or Miss Mathers? It doesn't matter. Faggot. Talking about I fabricated my past. He's just aggravated, I won't ejaculate in his ass. So tell me, what the hell is a fella to do? For every million I make, another relative sues. Family fighting and fussing over who wants to invite me to supper. All of a sudden I got 90 some cousins, a half brother and sister who never seen me or even bothered to call me until they saw me on TV. Now everybody's so happy and proud, I'm finally allowed to step foot in my girlfriend's house.
Hey,
and then to top it off, I walk to the newsstand to buy this cheap-ass little magazine with a food stamp. Skip to the last page, flip right fast, and what do I see? A picture of my big white ass. Okay, let me give you motherfuckers some help.
Here.
Double XL, double XL. Now your magazine shouldn't have so much trouble to sell. Oh, fuck it, I'll even buy a couple myself.
Cause I'm just Marshall Mathers.
All right, I'm back. You know, I'm getting messages. So Corp's trying to call in and it's busy, so I don't know, you know, if this is a Blog Talk issue or what exactly is going on. You know, I'm just you know, doing what I do. Okay, I think I got a call now. So I believe I have on the line now Corporal Robinson. Is this Corp?
Yeah, it's me, brother.
Hey, what's going on, Corp?
What's happening, buddy?
Not much, man. You know, for those who don't know, you know, Corp's got a show coming up in June for IWA
yep.
Mid-South. We're definitely going to get into that in a little bit. Got a
for
bunch
sure,
of stuff
sure.
to ask you.
sure.
How'd
I've
you
been
get
on
into
a
wrestling?
Little hiatus for the last 8 months, so.
Yeah, a lot of people are looking to hear from you, so.
Yeah, good.
How'd you actually get into wrestling?
Well, I broke in, I'd gotten out of the Marine Corps in 1998, and, you know, down south, you know, Louisville Gardens was the place to be. You know what I'm saying? That's where we grew up, USWA, Jerry Lawler, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got home, there was a show that Tuesday night, you know, so we decided, well, hey, we're all going to go. So we had our USMC shirts that we'd wore home from Iraq and decided to sit. We got front row tickets. Well, the funny thing about this is, you know, I don't know if you guys know, Doug Gilbert and Tommy Rich and all of them were the big heels back then.
Yeah.
And they came out talking hella shit that night. And, of course, them being the good heels that they were, at that time I was a big-ass mark. I didn't know what the fuck was going on. You know what I'm saying? Bad guys were bad guys. Good guys were good guys. We hated them all. And these guys came up and started talking hella shit. Dougie happened to talk real big shit to me. And we were right there on the front row. The cameras were on us. He was like, you Marines are nothing but a bunch of pussies. And I drilled him real fast, right hook, bam, bow. And when I'd hit him, he kind of dropped him. You know, it dropped him right there on tape. And, of course, security came and grabbed us. And people went and snatched us up. And the funny part was they had drugged my buddies out the front part, and they drug me out the back door. And at that point in time, in my head, I was like, well, shit. Well, I'm about to fight a bunch of wrestlers.
Right.
That's
right.
What I truly thought. And then when they drug me, security guys were back there, Doug and Tommy and Brian Christopher and Jamie and Wolfie and them guys were all backstage, and a good friend of mine now, which is Blaze, was all back there. And at that point, I didn't know that you know, Dougie was a former vet, and so was Road Dog, Jesse James, and them guys were. And, you know, they came up to me and was like, look, that's one of the fastest right hands we'd ever seen in my life. Have you ever thought about being a professional wrestler? And at that point in time, I was in shock. They'd asked me to show up that Saturday in Nashville. They started a wrestling school and shit, and I started wrestling school out of all that. So that's kind of how it started, you know. And then I trained under the USWA label before it had folded down, and then started doing, you know, Independence in Indiana and all and the whole routine. But yeah, that's how I'd actually broke into business.
Wow. And initially you were, you know, you're really known for the death matches and all of that style, but
correct.
You came up pretty much a standard, you know, wrestler.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, straight at USWA, and then it went into when Lawler had sold the company to two different companies, then we you know, Mike Samples had started KCW up. And then once KCW had started up, we'd, you know, it was basically I came out with the red, white, and blue flag, straight up corporal, baby face, as you can get, you know, waving that flag in and out. And it was strictly Southern style wrestling, you know, hit, toss, arm drag, drop kick, spots, all that shit. Deathmatches wasn't even in the case until, you know, Ian had just started IWA Mid-South down there and was doing really good. And, you know, that's where my love was anyway. You know, I grew up loving the ECW. That's kind of where I wanted to take my career anyway.
Right.
So when KCW had a deal where, you know, a bunch of us decided to jump ship. So when we decided to jump ship, then, you know, it was me and Doug and Tommy and Jamie and Wolfie and all these guys decided to jump over to IWA Mid-South, and I was just the young baby face, you know, that showed up with them. And that's how the whole IWA thing blew up. You know, they thought I was just going to be the typical, you know, baby face, hip toss, arm drag guy, and I came in wrestling Pondo, you know, as a step in because, what the hell was the guy's name back then? Trailer Park Trash was a big puss. And he was doing this big angle with Pondo, and it was the big blow-off match, and he basically told Ian he wasn't going to do it, and Ian needed somebody that would fill in real quick, and
right.
I jumped right in, and the thing was I did wrestling matches in the gimmicks, you know, and
there,
from there everything kind of set off and blew up.
Yeah. You know, now you watch CCW and those type of things, and, you know, they did a lot of hardcore and stuff like that. But obviously, you know, what Ian had going definitely took it to another level. Did you kind of know what you were getting into, or, you know, were you looking to push the limits? Or?
That's exactly what I did. You know, I wanted to do something that had never been done. You know, I wanted to be able to set myself different than everybody else. And I wanted to be able to take what I'd watched and do it better, you know. And at that time, you know, ENN was the most innovative deathmatch people that was out there. And I wanted to be the best of the best. That's the way I've always been in this business, is I wanted to be the best of the best. I wanted to be able to stand toe-to-toe with them guys. I wanted to be able to do the sickest, craziest shit that was out there, and that's what I did.
Right.
You know, and we kept raising the bar, you know, from me being power-bombed out of balconies to doing, you know, the barbed wire matches into the thousand light tube matches and the pull of leeches into the barefoot thumbtacks and the, you know, setting shit on fire. You know, whatever we could set the table up and be the best, that's what we did, and especially if there was a camera there recording it.
Yeah. Now, you know, their camera stuff was, I mean, they were recorded Smart Mark Video, I think was the first ones doing them back then and everything.
Yeah,
but,
Smart Mark was the first one.
They were pretty small crowds and stuff back then. I mean, was there any, like, worry that, you know, all of it would be done for nothing or,
well,
you know?
Well, you
like,
know, I knew that one back then, the internet just started kicking off. And as long as somebody was filming that, we knew Smart Mics would buy the film. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the thing about that was, people were talking on the message boards and things like that, that's when that just started kicking off. And I knew if I could make myself, you know, be one of the elite guys, I could get booked everywhere. And the thing was, I needed to pay my bills wrestling, you know, so I had to be the best of the best, and I had to be willing to do some of the sickest shit out there. So,
right.
you know, with IWA, I don't know if you seen my promos back then, but I started shooting on CZW and all them because they were claiming they were this and that. And what we
right.
were doing was way crazier and way sicker than CZW was even coming close to. They just had the East Coast. They just had the East Coast press. But when
yeah.
I started talking craziness and started putting them on blast, and then our matches started living up to the expectations, that's when IWA started blowing up.
Right. Now, you know, talking about CZW, there was a lot of, you know, I guess, heat between the two companies. And, you know, Ian
yeah.
and John legit didn't like each other, you know, not
yeah.
a big secret about that.
No,
and,
not
I know, you know, it kind of spilled over as far as locker rooms, and there kind of was a split of, you know, who would work where and stuff like that. You know, what was
yeah.
your experience with that, or your feeling about the whole?
You know, the thing was, you know, at first, you know, there was a huge animosity there. But I'd earned the respect of a lot of the guys.
Mm-hmm.
And ended up coming to a lot of them guys were some of my best friends, you know what I'm saying? Trent.
Right.
Them guys, Johnny, all them dudes, you know, all them guys out there in the CZW level, were great guys. And a lot of them, you know, Nick Mondo and all them guys, you know, at first, you know, it was like a big competition thing. But once we'd all kind of got to start hanging out and chilling at the bars and, you know,
mm-hmm.
they respected my game and I respected theirs kind of deal.
Right.
And I don't know if it was the point of the fact that they knew that everything I said I live up to, you know what I'm saying? Or
right.
if the fact that, you know, they just didn't know, you know what I mean? But the bottom
right.
line was once it came to it, you know, once we're backstage and we're professionals, you know, it's all the work once we're on camera. Of course, we're going to be the biggest badasses there is on camera.
Sure.
Backstage, there's a respect level. You know, and
sure.
I'll give my body up for anybody. You know, I've done it for decades. And I
right.
proved that over the years. But with them guys, man, yeah, it was major heat going down. I believed in IWA product. I believed we were the best in the market. And back then, by far none, I still 100% put our money down. You think about it, pretty much all of us top guys are all major players in every major market there is. You know, from WWE down nowadays, you know what I'm saying? You look at Punk and all them guys now, and then what we have done with JCW and everything else.
Sure.
You know,
one of the big things that, you know, I guess was like a big shot fired or what have you was when Hero went over to CZW and they pretty much squashed him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know there was, you know, Ian had said there was definitely a lot of heat within the locker room about that and resentment towards them, and, you know, how he
yeah,
was
that
used.
Was huge. Yeah. Yeah, that was major heat. That's why the whole invasion angle happened. I don't know
right.
if you remember that, but
yeah.
right after that is right when the whole invasion angle, and we came in just to beat people's asses.
Right.
We didn't care, you know what I'm saying? Because the bottom
right.
line is I was step toe-to-toe with any of them, and they knew it. You know what I'm saying? They knew it. It was straight up clear. Either we were going to work together, we were going to fight, and if we were going to fight, I was going to lay you out. And that's the way most of us IWA thought. It ended up going to the fact that after that, they seen in Zandig, after I punched him in the face a few times, you know, in the ring, and the way that went down, that was a legit deal. You know, that whole deal where the cops came in and all that, that was as big as heat as you get in ECW arena with that bitch sold out.
Sure, yeah, it was a great angle.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%, 100%. And the sad part was then it just went to shits with it, you know. He could have did so
yeah.
much more with that angle. And he just, you know, the fact is it got over more than they thought it would. It got way over, hugely
oh, yeah.
over. And, you know, he pretty much killed it off and had us work each other during the Tournament of Death, which was the most stupidest thing I ever heard. You know, I mean,
yeah.
it had been so much better with me working their guys, you know, working
sure.
Hatred and Mondo and them guys, And instead, he put me in the ring against the fucking Necro, which people have seen me wrestle a million times. Of course, we ripped it up. Me and Necro always have, you know. Mm-hmm. But he could have done so much more with that angle. That would have been so much hotter. And the people loved him. We weren't charging him a shit ton, you know what I'm saying? So it wasn't like it was an unaffordable thing. It was good. It was an ego thing. The fact, the bottom line of the whole deal was the IWA guys got over. In fact, the craziest part of that whole angle was they were chanting IWA when we were fucking beating Zandig's wife to death.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's the craziest shit ever. You know what I mean? I mean, they were, their CZW loyal fans were cheering IWA at that point.
Oh, yeah. I was one of those there. And, you know, for sure, you know, seeing faces that, you know, when you're an indie wrestling fan and the tape trading and, you know, you start seeing stuff and you're watching the King of the Death, even though you can't make it out there, you know, it's great to see those guys, all that talent come in. I mean, it's like, you know, that's a huge amount of guys that you didn't get to see live. All of a sudden they're right there in front of you and you get this whole battle. I mean, that's,
right,
you know, a dream situation for fans. So they were all for it. I was definitely.
Yeah, 100%. And it was great. And I love the East Coast fans. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I've been lucky because, you know, the great thing about East Coast fans is if you're a piece of shit, they're going to tell you. If you work hard and you bust your ass and they've seen you do shit, then they'll respect you. You know what I'm saying? And I happen to be one of the guys they always respected. So I thank God for that. But I love working in front of the East Coast. I sold it out many a fucking times with PW and, you know, and all of them. You know what I'm saying? So,
sure.
You know, I love working out there. I love working the East Coast shit. And
what
I love the
like,
East Coast fans.
When you first went over, you know, to actually work for Zandig, did you have any, like, you know, interaction or talk with Zandig when you first got there? And what was that like?
You know, Zana didn't talk to me too much. He just kind of was like, yeah, here's the deal. And, you know, we're professionals, so we're going to do what he needed as long as it made sense. I mean, if it was going to make us look stupid or squash, we were just going to fight. I mean, that's honest to God, shoot. You know, we were either going to be there one time and it was going to be over because we were going to beat up everybody, or we were all going to be able to work together.
Right.
And most of them guys know me, and they know me really well now. I'm friends, 90% of friends with all of them now. You know what I'm saying? Just out of respect. You know, I give them guys as much respect, but I'll fight for what I have to fight for. And I'm sorry, but I'll stand toe-to-toe with anybody in the middle of the ring. I have for fucking decades, and I still will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not changed one damn bit. That's one thing about court, man. When you're me, man, you stand toe-to-toe with what you believe in and who you believe in. And that's what I've done. That's what I've always done.
Right. That's good. What was your thoughts on the whole, you know, Pro Wrestling Unplugged experiment, you know, with Johnny Cashmere and all those guys over there?
You know, PW was really good there for a long time. I don't know if I got the major thing. They pushed me through the roof, which was great. But we sold a lot of tickets, man. And we did a lot of things people didn't believe we were going to do. You know what I'm saying? The whole Hugh Jangle and me coming in, being the hardcore champ and winning the title, and then ICP turning on me and us selling it out, and the cage deal with Todd and all them guys. It was a big deal. Me and Ian did the fucking, if I remember correct, we did the window pane match. You know what I'm saying? Where I ended up fucking hitting him with a boot cam through the fucking tubes, but I also took a drop kick to the face through the glass and a bunch of other crazy shit. You know, and it was great being able to be on that kind of scale through, you know, on the East Coast. We had a lot of good times. I became really good friends with, you know, Pitbull, Gary Wolf, and them guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a great time. Sandman, all them guys, Hack, all them guys. Scorp, all them dudes. I made really good relationships, which really helped to build when I took over the JCW booking and stuff.
Yeah. JCW, I mean, you started working there before it was even JCW at the time, like 97, right?
Yeah.
You had ended up also, you know, being security, you know, bodyguard type situation. Did that happen first or did the wrestling happen first?
No. I started off as basically security and all that. I'd met the clowns. Actually, Joe had came to a show. He'd worked for A.T. Huck out of Detroit with and it was HWF. And I won the world title from Sabu, which we had an unbelievable match in Detroit. And Joe and Joey was there. And basically, we had a five-star match. We did everything. We ripped the house down. And Sabu was going back to ECW. That's when he had taken his, it was a 3-week, 4-week hiatus. From Paul and them. That's when the whole Japan deal had went down and he was fired and all that.
Yeah.
So I was doing a program with him out of Detroit. And people were eating it up. We were pretty, we were called the Lynch Mob there. It was me and Too Tough Tony and Cash Flow and Madman Pondo and Necro Butcher was called a Lynch Mob. And, we were pretty much, real big heels there, but gotten over huge baby faces just because of the badass tactics we had. And we were working so much, it was no S when we were working, 4 to 5 times a week. And I was working, the big program with Sabu, Joe and them was there. Joe seen the match and all that, came backstage afterwards after Sabu had dropped the title to me. And, he was like, look, man, I'm about to go on tour. You want to come over to my house having this huge, I'm having this huge after party over at my crib. You mind coming over? So, it was Violent J. And honestly, back then I was the only independent guy coming out to ICP stuff at all. Coming out the Halls of Illusions and shit. And that was the only major exposure they were getting. On an indie style level all over the place was me. I was coming out to that shit way before I was ever with them guys. And he had respected that, and I guess he'd seen the shit. He's a huge wrestling fan. That's the thing about Joe. He's a big time wrestling fan. He loves the business. He'd offer me that spot, and I took it, with us being any guys, a regular, normal job, making 2 or 3 grand a week was awesome.
Yeah.
I could take those, take the tour dates on top of doing some wrestling shows, and I was pretty straight, I could be a little bit more pickier on what shows I did. I didn't have to do the fucking bullshit shows all the time. I could pick the bigger shows and I had to deal with the clowns. And that was before they even knew basically I was as good as I was. They had just seen me in Detroit. They didn't know what I'd done, across the country. What had happened was how I blew up with JC Doubles, the Rude Boy, which I'll flat out state is the biggest piece of shit in professional wrestling. He never made a name for himself. He's never been trained. He never just done anything in his fucking business. And he lived off of Joe and Joey's name, they pushed him. They pushed him as much as they could because, with the Juggalo world, they love whoever's with them. They try to push him through that fact. The problem was fucking Rudy's a fucking joke. The boys knew he was a joke and he was charging them out through the roof. He was a horrible ass worker. The fucker's finisher is a clothesline and he couldn't even do that right. I'm sorry, but you can't do a goddamn clothesline. You've been in the business 6 years. That's pretty goddamn sad. He's a fucking piece of shit. That's the bottom line. He's a total fucking piece of shit.
We're going to jump ahead. We're going to jump to that, too, because I know I got a few questions that, some of the Juggalo fans, those guys have asked me to ask you, too. So,
yeah, no problem. But, I got no reason to bullshit on nothing.
Absolutely. But what was it like to actually be security for, the clowns where, they have one of the most rabid fan bases, out there. And, yearly you hear about the things going on at the gathering. What were some of the stuff that, crazy shit you had to deal with?
You got to
protect those guys.
Yeah, 100%. I was Joe's right hand completely for over a decade. I dealt with every situation we dealt with on tour, the gatherings, all that crazy shit. That was me, brother. I helped raise his kids. I loved that guy to death. I did everything in the planet for that man. I got in so many fights and people I knocked out and fucking drama we got in the middle of. And I always made sure they never once were unsafe. as long as I was on top of the job. Never once. Not one time.
Right.
All the fucking stages being rushed, to us being in the middle of the crowd, to all that. I gave them guys, I worked 80, 90 hours a week, man, for minimal pay. And didn't care at that point in time because I was always being promised this huge check and this huge this and that. And this was going to happen and I was never going to have to worry about my bills or none of that shit. You know, and, you know, I seen all kind of crazy shit. You know what I'm saying? Guy pulled a samurai sword on me in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Wow.
Off of a fucking demo tape. And I beat that guy into a coma. It was in the papers. You know what I'm saying? He came on demanding we listen to it. And I told him the first time, got him off. And he came back on the tour bus. And then fucking I beat his brains in from the end of the bus. The funny part was he started looking at his girl. And once he did, I knew it was over. Once he took his eyes off me, it was a done deal. And I have a pretty vicious right hook. You know, so
right.
Once I drew you with my right with a right hook, you're pretty much dropping. There hasn't been nobody from 300 to 400 pounds down to 200 that hasn't dropped from my right hook, at least stumbled. You know, 90%
right.
of the time they're laid the fuck out. But, you know, that's what we did, you know, and I drilled that guy, man. We kicked his sword underneath the bus, and I beat him all the way across the parking lot into the freaking woods, and I was beating his ass in the woods up until the time the cops and everybody showed up there. And then once they found out that that's what had happened, and they, you know, of course, they let me go. And, you know, no charges were filed or anything because the guy pulled a sword, and I was security. So, you know, we had all kinds of different shit going down. You know, from the fact of just being frantic fans and running and rushing to people trying to grab Joe's mic out of his hands and me just laying them out real quick, you know. I love the Juggalos, man. They're truly one of the most awesome fans in the world. Completely some of the most awesome fans in the world. They're very interactive into what goes down. They're very energetic. They love who they love, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're awesome. They're totally awesome as a fan base. They were, you know what I'm saying? All that shit's kind of changed now with the whole point of everybody leaving and shit, but that's a whole other topic. But
did you have to deal with anything, you know, with the whole Tila Tequila and all of those situations that made, you know, the big news?
You know what? The thing with the Tila Tequila shit, I was in the middle of some other drama, and then I came up, and then once I came up on stage, they cleared it out. And we got her off the fucking stage. That was the thing. Once me or somebody they recognized came on or asked them not to, like I never had much drama with Juggalos. You know, after, you know, three or four. Once they knew who I was and what I did and everything I have done for the company, they never really gave me a lot of problems. You know, I handled our fucking video shoots. I handled our press shit. You know, all that shit I did. And Juggalos knew if I came out and asked them something, it was out of respect and shit we were doing. So they never really bucked me, ever at all. They would listen and do what I said. Now, if it was a security guy trying to tell them or just being a dick, thing was, you know, if you come out to them and disrespect them right off the bat, they're going to buck you. But if you show them respect and have them show you the same respect back, then it's no big deal. It's not an issue at all.
Right.
But at least it never was with me. You know what I'm saying? Me personally, it never was a major issue at all.
Now, I'm really not sure of the whole situation or whatever went on, but, you know, with everything happening with you leaving, you know, one person asked, why did he do what he did? So, again, I don't really know exactly what happened, so I guess you could explain, you know, your side of what happened, and then that's, you know, clearly the answer to that question.
Yeah, it's not a problem. You know, I gave him a decade over, you know, of everything I did. I gave him my lives. I raised their kids and all that shit. I got knocked off a 14-foot stage in New York City. I landed on my fucking head. They pretty much thought I was leaking spinal cord fluid. We didn't know that. I woke up in a hospital in New York City, and the buses were leaving about 30 minutes later. This is on the American Psychos tour.
Right.
I ripped the IVs out of my arm and made it because we had two shows left. I made it to the fucking back to the bus. You know, this is after being laid completely the fuck out. It's all on tape. Of course, they cut it. You know, I'm saying they're not going to show the exact deal that went down. They cut that shit. And when I'd gotten back to the bus and all that, I was super lightheaded, really weak. I still finished my shit. You know, I still worked for Joe the 24 hours. I wrestled fucking Bull Payne in a no roll barbed wire match the next night after that. This is why I'm leaking spinal cord fluid. You know what I'm saying? I'm literally in the verge of dying, and I'm not only taking care of Joe all day, I'm also wrestling. I'm also taking care of our business side of things, and I'm handling every bit of our business on top of doing one of the hardest death matches on the world. I got home. I got through the show, barely. Got through the show. I filmed it all. I'm fucking barely fucking breathing. I get to my house, I kiss my daughter, and I collapse down freaking 14 flights of stairs at my house. It put me in the hospital for fucking 5 weeks. I was a block away from psychopathic office for 4.5 weeks, and not one of them came up there and checked on me.
Right.
Not one of them. This is after a decade of me giving my life to them guys. This is after almost catching a case on a drug deal to fucking help them raise their kids and all that shit. Not one of them fucking cocksuckers came up there to check on me to see if I was even okay.
Yeah.
You know, and the bottom line, at that point, they thought I wouldn't even be able to walk again. Not be able to do anything. So for 6 weeks, not only did they not pay me, my wife and kids stuck in Detroit, and there wasn't even a check for them to be able to fucking eat.
Yeah.
Nothing. Nothing at all. Not a goddamn thing. So, you know what I'm saying? So finally, we got to the point to where hatchet attacks came, and it was a fucking complete failure. It was a failure. Shit didn't go right. Joe came to my house upset, wanted to get everything back to normal. And this was my livelihood. As mad as I was and as upset as I was, my family was still stuck there. So I made my mind up there. I got to get them back to Milwaukee. You know what I'm saying? No matter what I do, I got to get them the fuck out of here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
My bills weren't being paid. And this is after I've already been prompt. This is working 60, 80 hours a week and making a $400 fucking paycheck.
Yeah.
On a company that's making fucking millions. And I'm doing 10 goddamn jobs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? My check should have been $2,000 to $3,000 without a problem. It would have never been a fucking issue, ever. Ever.
Yeah.
And this is me supposedly being Joe's best friend. And I considered him my best friend. I loved the man to death. That's the fucking bullshit part about it. I don't know if it's Billy, them guys. I don't know who it was. You know what I'm saying? Who kept putting the claims on shit. And, yes, they helped me from time to time. Or Joe would slide me a little bit of cash from time to time. But it was nowhere near what the fuck I was working. It was nowhere near what I was doing. So I always handled the guest list. It was never a problem. You know what I'm saying? I handled our guest list for the tours for the last 10 fucking years. I gotten people in. I'd always gotten people in. So there was 14 people that I'd put on the guest list, and they had sent me $100. Each one of them did. So what I told them was, for that $100, I'd get them into the gathering. You know what I'm saying? I'd get them in. It wasn't a big deal. I'd just throw them right on the guest list. I'd get them in, and that helped me fucking, for my daughter and everybody, survive. Help me eat. Help the bills get paid where we're not living on the fucking streets in Detroit where we know nobody. You know, that was the bottom line of the whole fucking deal. Well, Billy and them guys cut the guest list. They knew what the deal was. They cut the guest list completely together. And so let me go through where it was ever. Then they told security guys to fucking go up and be like, listen, if you bought a ticket, stand in this line. If you bought a ticket from Corp, stand in this line. All right, well, if you haven't bought a $150 ticket, what fucking line do you think you're going to be in?
Right.
You're going to stand in the fucking line where you're going to get the free ticket, right? There were fucking 500 kids there. Brother, that's $50,000. Do you think I'd have been worried about a paycheck if I'd have sold tickets for 50 fucking grand?
Right.
I made about $800, brother, and that was in between like a 12-week span.
Yeah.
And that's how honest to God true, brother. That's no bullshit or nothing. Yeah.
But then, you know, what happened with the people on the guest list when they cut it? They got beat?
Well, no, they were basically – no, they let everybody in. That was the thing. That was the biggest bitch about it was they let everybody in. Nobody had to buy another fucking ticket. They let everybody in. Everybody. It just blew up in my face like I was selling all these outrageous amount of tickets, which was bullshit. I never once sold tickets like that. Friends were helping me out. I was like, you know what I'm saying? On top of it, what I'll do is I'll throw you on this as help.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And what he did was they tried to make me out to be a liar. Here's the other thing. If I had ripped them off for $50,000, do you not think I would have been in fucking jail?
Yeah, of course.
You know what I'm saying? Why wasn't I arrested if that was the fact? That was all bullshit, bro. It was all bullshit.
Yeah.
Every bit of it was. It was a big fucking bullshit scam there. And the funny part was, bro, I wasn't scared of shit, bro. I stayed on the goddamn grounds. Their security was so lame, bro. I drove on the fucking grounds. I was going to beat Rudy's fucking brains in. That was my whole point, was to beat Rudy's fucking brains in. He's that big a piece of shit.
Right.
He's that big a piece of shit. I was going to beat his fucking brains in. I was there. I told Billy and them, we're like, well, we'll pay you after the show. And I'm like, no. I was there that Sunday. I was there them 3 fucking days. I went campground to campground. So let me tell you this much. If you supposedly ripped off that many kids, all right, and you're solo out on the grounds, would I have not gotten fucking beat down by 20,000 kids?
I'd imagine.
Especially juggalos?
Yeah, I'd imagine.
I didn't have one fucking problem, brother. Not one.
Yeah. Yeah, and then there was another rumor, you know, I mentioned earlier, too, when you were saying about Rude Boy, that there was some kind of rumor that you wouldn't job to him, and that's when you walked out.
No, that wasn't the case at all. The bottom line was I didn't care what they said, whatever.
Right.
Look, it didn't matter what finish they had. I was beating his fucking brains out. All I wanted was my money they owed me. They'd owe me for being in New York. They'd owe me for being in L.A. They owed me for 2 weeks of work on top of the gathering money.
Mm-hmm.
And I told Billy, pay me before I wrestle. Because my deal was I didn't know if I was going to get out there and they were going to send the locker room out and I was fighting everybody. You know what I'm saying? Then I was going home broke still. I wanted my money before I wrestled. That's all I asked. That's all I asked.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't do it. When he said he wouldn't pay me, I was like, well, I'm not wrestling. I'm not wrestling until you pay me. So they're like, we're going to fly you out. So when he said he's going to fly me out, I always carry a 9. They all know this. Every one of them assholes carry guns. Billy had 2 or 3 in this fucking deal. All of them have. We're at the fucking gathering. 50,000 kids. You don't think we all have pistols? You know what I'm saying? It was in a lockbox, bro. They're flying me home. So I took it. I took my gun out of the fucking deal and I handed it to Billy and said, here. Then all of a sudden, everybody said I'd pulled a pistol out and went to shoot everybody. Get the fuck out of here. Once again, I'd have been in jail.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yes, I did have a gun on me. We always do. But it was in a lockbox and it was in the fucking rental car.
All right. So is that something that they all conjured up with the whole, you know, he wouldn't job to this or that, you know, to cover themselves?
Of course, brother. Of course. I agreed to whatever. All I want to do is get paid. Now, honestly, between me and you, I wouldn't have jobbed to him. I'd have beat the fuck out of him. I was going to knock him out 3 seconds into the match. There was no ifs, ands, buts about it. I was hurting him. I was going to prove the fact he was a piece of shit. I was going to straight up hurt him. And if anybody will book that match from now to any point in time, I will hurt him then. I've not made it a secret. I told him that I'm going to knock him out. I told him live. Joe and him told me to shoot. Joe wanted me to knock him out in the first 30 seconds of the match. Joe Bruce knew this.
Right.
I don't give a fuck what he tells everybody else. I know the fucking truth. And he wanted me to beat his fucking brains in.
Flat
out. That's the only reason I took the match. The only reason it blew up was because of me coming back after being hurt and all that shit. And the only reason I took the match was to expose the piece of shit this guy was. Because he is. He's a fraud. He's a piece of fucking shit. He is not a wrestler. Never has been. He's never been trained. He don't know a goddamn headlock from an armbar. He don't know shit.
Right.
He don't know a damn thing. He's a piece of shit. And you're goddamn right. I was going to hurt him. And I still will to this day. I don't care where I meet him at. Please book this match. Joe Bruce, if you're listening to this interview right now, which I'm sure you will, because it's going to be posted everywhere, book that match at the gathering. I'm going to fuck him up. Period.
I mean, that was two questions.
And I apologize faithfully to the Juggalos that got screwed on that deal with the money. I totally apologize. I never believed that would have happened.
Yeah,
I'd have never took your money if I thought they got fucked over, ever.
Well,
I lost really good friends over that.
If you and JCW ever patched things up, would you ever go back? And is it possible for you to patch it up?
Of course. I spent a decade there. I love Joe and Joey to death. I love them to death. Mm-hmm. But the problem is they always only see it one side. They never see it on your side. So, I mean, business is business. I love the Juggalos to death. I always will till the day I die. You know what I'm saying? And, of course, I would go back if it was done right. 100%.
And they were asking, would you be at the gathering this year?
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? If they call me and book it up right, 100%. Yeah,
has there been any talks or anything to smooth anything
there's
over?
Been different kind of, there's been different talks here and there about shit being patched up and fixed, but I don't know. Me and Joe hasn't talked since that day. We haven't talked in over a year. And I love that man to death. There's no bullshit about it. I love him and his family. I wouldn't have did what I did for so many years for a little amount of pay because I wasn't about to pay. Never was. It was about the family, the brotherhood, and me doing what I believed in. And I love that company. I still do to this day. I love that company to death. I told Joe in his truck many times. He's like, Corva, you never got to worry about nothing. You're going to be taken care of. And I told him flat then, I'm not worried about that. As long as I can make my bills are paid, that's all I'm worried about. That's all I'm worried about. You know, but the fact of me to get hurt and my career to be on the line, I mean, basically get fucking killed over a decade and just to leave me fucking hanging and chilling and nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's straight bullshit, brother. That's straight bullshit from somebody that, you know what I'm saying? There's somebody who loves them to death that did, that gave them everything I gave them. It was straight bullshit.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I'm on the phone doing an interview.
So
that was the whole deal with Psychopathic. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I 100% would have, backed them to the day. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, you know, that they fucked me over. But they don't see it that way.
Right.
That's the thing. Maybe it is both sides. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is, you know, I can admit where I'm wrong and I can apologize where I was wrong on shit. And I have apologized to who needs to be apologized to. And I will. And it sucks for them guys. It really does. And I would have never did it if I thought they would have got fucked over. You know, I'd have never did it in my life. I never fuck over anybody. Ever. You know what I'm saying? On a purpose scale. I'm not that kind of person.
All right. There's, you know, over the years, you know, working, you've definitely met up, you know, and seen a lot of people, and there's been a lot of deaths that have happened over these years. And to just touch on a few of them, Rolling Hard.
Oh, my God. Breaking my heart there. Yeah. That was unexpected. Very dear friend. Love his kiddos to death and his wife. It hit us really hard. Really, really, really hard. Still does. Still does to this day.
Sure.
We've lost a lot of fucking close friends. Worked Roland a million times. Worked a longer program with Mitch Page, but Roland was his partner, you know, so many years, you know.
Me and Hardy.
Me and Mitch had probably one of the biggest feuds in the history of this business when it comes to deathmatch shit. Me and Mitch's feud kind of put me on the map. I'm the one that just kind of took off. You know what I'm saying? But Mitch is a great worker. Outstanding. Roland, I love you to death, brother. God, rest in peace. Love your kids. It's rough. Really rough. I don't know where colon cancer and all that shit.
It was terrible. Another one is, obviously where this show's name came from is Trent Acid. You know, he definitely became, very close with him over the years. I mean, you know, it started out as a CZW versus IWA, and, you know, no one liked each other. And then, you know, you made it over to the East Coast.
became close with him, you know, PWU, everything else, and you know, that was another kind of shocking.
Yeah, it came out of nowhere. Goddamn. Trent was my boy. I loved him to death. I gave him the whole Holy Trent Acid gimmick with JCW. We had one of the massive feuds, had probably one of the biggest cage matches ever in Philly.
Right.
Where I took the world title back. It was a pleasure and an honor working with that man. He may have took heat here for drugs here and there. That guy was a complete professional when it came to the ring. He's a complete professional, and he was one of my best friends, and I love him to this day. His daughter out there, I sent my love to her, too. It just sucks, man. It really does. You know, I've lost a lot of – you're probably going to go through a list of them, but I've lost a lot of really close friends over in this business, man.
Yeah.
He was a great guy, man. He was a great guy. Great talent. It just sucks, man, how God works in some ways. Really does.
Yeah. Trent was an absolute superstar. I mean, this is one of these guys that definitely belonged on TV, and he could have made millions of dollars in this business.
100%. 100%. He was one of the best of the best, man. Trent Acid was by far one of the best when it comes to in-ring performance. I thank God every day I had the pleasure and privilege to work him.
Yeah.
I had the honor to tag with him, and I had the privilege to do huge programs with him.
Yeah. JC Bailey.
Wow. That's another kid that was gone way before his time, man. Way before his time. He was still up and coming. You know, the kid was not scared of nothing. Not scared of nothing. He took the whole attitude that we had started of being able to wrestle on top of being able to do death matches and being able to take it to the limit.
Yeah.
You know, thing. He just let the pain and everything get to him. You know, a lot of the personal demons got to him, and, you know, things happened. And Bailey, that was really rough. Really, 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 really rough.
Yeah.
There's no reason any of these three guys should be gone right now. No way in hell. Why they're gone, I'll never know. But JC Bailey was one of the most talented guys, talented deathmatch guys on the planet. He was a great person, you know, normally. It really sucks, man. I know his dad really well. Joe and Vicky, and even though we had all the heat back then or whatever, I've always been close with their family. JC and his girl Kelly and all them, and I don't know, it sucks, man. It really does, man, because I see assholes that live through all this crazy shit and make it, and there's guys like them three just mentioned that were, you know, great, great guys and shouldn't be gone right now.
Yeah, I mean, just one more I want to mention. I kind of want to get off of that, but brain damage.
Well, yeah, that was another complete shocker. I remember when Mr. Santa and him called me the day that happened. Brain damage is another young, talented guy that didn't deserve what it's gotten. The stress of life in this business got to him, you know. And he was a hell of a talent, hell of a hand. I don't understand why he did what he did. It's a little different than relevant wrestling guys, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
But he was a great dude. I wish I could have just talked to him, you know. I wish I could have just sat down and talked to him. I mean, I've gone through a lot with everything going on, you know, between the drugs and dealing with everything I've dealt with. And I just wish I could have talked to him. That's the one major regret I got is I didn't get a chance to talk to him. I worked him a million times. He's a great in-ring performer. Great, you love the fans. You love this business. It just sucks, man. It really does.
Now, you know, one thing that was brought up pretty constantly with both JC and Marvin was that you know, a lot of the head trauma, you know, contributed to the end result. You know, being a guy who works that type of style yourself, I mean, what's your thoughts on that? And, you know, what should be done, if anything, you know, to change it?
Oh, I mean, I don't know really what there can be done on that end of it. We know what we step into. We know what we want to. It's being in the ring with professionals. It's being able to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not in the greatest health myself. You know what I'm saying? Honestly, I got a lot of shit going on right now. I'm not going to make it all public, but I got a lot of shit going down myself.
Right.
But, you know, we do what we do to try to make it in this business. And sometimes you got to make steps and boundaries because we're not WWE guys. We're not those guys that are going to be, you know, big buff dudes. We're those guys that you're going to buy tickets. You know, you're going to see a fight. You're going to see good shit. And hopefully the promoters love us enough that they pay us what we're worth.
Right.
You know, that's the thing. You know, I've been through everything that you can imagine. I've been hit with everything under the block.
Right.
You know, and of course, I've had issues from it here and there, but I'll still do it, you know. I don't think there is anything we can do about it. The main thing is the families and you know, the fans and everything, you got to support your guys. You know,
right.
The promoters, you know, we bust our asses for you all, the fans. We do everything. We give our lives and our careers for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, it's, you know, it's up to the promoters to take care of us the way we should be taken care of. You know, that's really the bottom line of the thing.
Right.
You know, and if we were taken care of more, maybe we wouldn't have to do the things we have to do in the ring. You know, to get that extra paycheck, to get that extra fucking $85, $100, $200.
Yeah.
You know, if we got those normal paychecks, we would just to work. Then you know, we wouldn't have to do that. But, you know, the sad case is we're not getting that $500 to $1,000 paychecks. We're not getting those $2,000, $3,000 paychecks.
Okay.
You know, and our families are the ones that suffer from that shit. Guys are wanting us to travel, you know, four or five states, you know, $300 or $400 when your gas don't even cover that shit. And and they want top dollar matches. They want, you know, they want matches that it's going to blow the roof off the building to where we're landing and getting hit with everything under the sun. But yet they want to pay you $200 to $300 or $400. You know what I'm saying? To get your head bashed in, to get shit split open, to be able to put that shit on the mat. And you know, it takes a toll on you when you've been doing it, you know, a few decades and shit. You know, the only people that suffer is your family. You know, your wives and your kids and the people that's got to pull glass out of your ass and help pay the bills and all that shit because of what you've done, put your body through, you know, and what you continuously do to put your body through, because if people are buying a ticket to watch me in the ring, I'm going to give them that money because out of respect and what I've learned in this business, I'm going to give them what they pay for. And, you know, and a lot of us do that, and that's why we're where we're at.
Yeah. Yeah. With everything that you know you've done through time, is there anything that you wouldn't do again?
What do you mean, match wise?
Yeah, I mean match wise, stipulation, like anything.
I would say the only one I probably wouldn't do again was the one where I got third degree burns. You know what I'm saying? When I got powerbombed through Ian and Nemus with Tammy and Chris Candido and all them guys. We were in Lima, Ohio. That shit was all at Pro Wrestling Illustrated. And he had stabbed the lighter fluid tape. You know what I'm saying? While he was spraying the table, he was spraying my back. And when they lit the table up and went to put me through it, I completely set on fire. So I had third-degree burns. You know, all the way up and down the left side of my body, my face. And crazy part is I wrestled 4 days later.
Wow.
But, yeah, that was the most pain I've been in. The other match that hurt the most was the barefoot thumbtack match. when it was done right. That was sucked. The Razor Blade Boar match was really sucky because of who I was working with, Brandon Proff. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but I literally knocked him out with forearms because he's a piece of shit. and he, instead of taking the bump I should have, he had set me down on my ass on the razor blades. And it cut my ass and my legs and shit, so I just beat the fuck out of him. if I remember, I'd thrown him off the top through that shit and landed. And, yeah, I think I gave him the boot camp through that bitch, honestly, off the apron. I remember it was a few years ago, but I screwed him up pretty bad. But only because I don't hurt nobody in the ring unless it's deserved. I try to work with everybody. I try to give everybody that much respect. We're putting our bodies on the line. That's the first thing you learn in this business. And with that piece of shit, he was just an arrogant fuck. He had talked hella shit. Same thing with Peter B. Beautiful back in the day, but the thing is, Peter B. actually, he is now, he's kind of reformed himself. You know what I mean? He's gotten a lot better. He learned respect for the business, so he's nowhere in that caliber. Peter's pretty good now. But back in the day, he was a piece of shit, too.
Yeah, Ian definitely put it on him.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, you know, you mentioned two of them, you know, between Brandon Pofford and Rude Boy.
Yeah.
Are there a lot of other guys that you've had these type of problems with, or just guys who just didn't belong in there and were dangerous? And you know?
Yeah, you know, there's been a slew of them. There's a guy named Kevin out of Milwaukee that was horrible. You know, there's been, you know, I'd say a dozen or so. You know, that were just the drizzling shits that didn't deserve to be in the business, you know, kind of like Rudy. I mean, the bottom line is I just haven't gotten able to beat the fuck out of Rudy yet. But hopefully I'll get that chance. I really do hope to God I get that chance. Because he is a joke. He's a fraud. He's a piece of shit. He definitely does not deserve to be in this business. I think the only reason he's around psychopathic right now is Joe don't have too many people left around him.
Right.
And that sucks because Joe's really a great guy personally. You know, he really is. Same thing with Joe. You know, they got their issues and all that. But, you know, on a personal level, I love them guys to death. I gave them over a decade. It just sucks that things worked out the way it did.
What was the worst injury you've ever had over your career?
Between the time I almost died, I'd probably rank up there. I got hit with a window pane wrestling in an oral barbed wire assault match. And there was a contraption with light tubes wrapped around it, and we thought it was just the light tubes. We didn't realize that there was a window pane in the middle of it. What happens, Ian went to breaking on top of me, and the way you cover up, you know what I'm saying, you go down with the way my arms were, the middle of the glass had busted, and it bounced down and up and stuck in the side of my brain. The main temple to my artery, to my brain, got severed. And when I came up, I was shooting blood in the fourth row all over a little girl's shirt, you know, when I came up. And at that point, I was pissed off because I knew I got cut. I just didn't realize how bad, so I started fighting Ian on real style. Started drilling him. He's trying to hold my head, and I'm punching him in the face, you know, pissed off because I got hard weight.
Yeah.
And then I just started getting weaker and weaker and weaker, you know. And they immediately, all of a sudden, they rolled me in the ring, and then his ass gave me the double-arm DDT, and the half of my head severed, so I took a double-arm DDT and a pit of salt with my head severed. So then it completely, you know, started burning the fuck out of me. So then I was just beyond pissed. But I'd lost so much blood. It was pretty ridiculous. How I lived through that, I'll never know. They'd rushed me to Salem Hospital. They immediately ended the match right there. They rushed me to Salem Hospital. That hospital was really unprepared for the situation. You know, they'd never seen a traumatic situation like that. And they just immediately sewed me up. But what they did was with the salt and everything that was in the ring, they had sewed up everything with the infection still in my brain. And it formed an aneurysm on the side of my head, and I had a big fucking knot that went past my ear, swelled up in a day. They rushed me to the VA, and the VA didn't know what to fucking do, so then they stat-flighted me to the University of Louisville, where they did emergency surgery in my brain, had to relieve the pressure and all that shit, and I should have died twice. You know, the doctors there thought I was dead already.
Yeah.
But I lived through it, and...
Oh, shit.
That was probably the most severe injury I'd had. Other than, of course, you know what I'm saying, regular, gashes and super glues and, you know, all kind of crazy madness that I've gone through. You know, I mean, what most people would...
I think, yeah, just lost Corp, so hopefully he's going to call back in a second. I was just about to say, I believe, an injury that involves, the need for brain surgery is probably a good bet on, somebody's worst injury. I mean, that's about the most severe you could possibly imagine. A lot of people listening to, heard the Nick Gage thing. He had to be helicoptered out, hit an artery and this and that. I mean, we're talking about Corp having an artery in his head. That's some pretty severe shit. Wow. So, yeah. Hopefully I can get Corp back on. I really don't have an idea exactly how I'm going to go about that. I can see possibly try to call him back, but otherwise wait for him to pop back on. Let me see if I can do this. Bear with me, guys. I hate when calls drop. It happens, though. It's just part of this podcasting thing. Don't know. He's going to call back in now. Let me see. I'm going to try to dial this right now. Corp.
Yeah, brother. Sorry, man. My phone.
All right.
Hold on. I don't know what's
all
ringing.
Right. Yeah, I got it.
You got it? You good?
Yep. So, all right. Okay. I was just about to say, I'd say that any type of injury that involves brain surgery, I'd say definitely qualify for the worst.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. So yeah, the brain surgery is probably the worst, that almost killed me. I've had numerous staph infections and things like that, and super glued gashes in my head and neck and back gashed up, and the 14-foot fall I took in New York City that almost ended my career landed on my head. And the funny thing about that was we weren't even wrestling. It was at a concert.
Wow. Yeah.
That was one of the biggest bumps that I had taken. We were at the Hammerstein Ballroom, which wrestling fans know, which is, it was funny it was there. Stagehand had kicked my foot out from under me and I landed on my head. That's how all this shit happened with Sacred Valley. I would have dropped 14 foot off the stage and landed right on my head. That was another situation where people thought I was dead. But, I survived it and made it through it. And it is what it is now. Now I'm battling what I'm battling now with my health,
Yeah. You won 2 King of the Deathmatch tournaments.
Yeah.
What was that like, winning a King of the Deathmatch? Was that a big deal to you? Or?
It was huge. It was really, really huge. The King of the Death is the best of the best deathmatch wrestlers on the planet are working at that time. And not only to win one, but win two. And I've been in the final of the four, so
yeah,
I can pretty much. I'm pretty sure my record's pretty solid, as you know what I'm saying. As far as who's made it the farthest and won the most, I think Ian's won two too. But you know, I've been in the finals and four of them, and I've won two of them. And it was, it definitely was a highlight. You know, it definitely was a highlight. Winning the IW Mid-South World title was, and winning the JCW World title was also a major, major highlight. You know, and defending against Scott Hall and them guys that I beat.
Yeah.
You know, I pretty much wrestled every top name there was in the business, and every major deathmatch guy in the business. And I held on to that belt for over 4.5 years. So
nice. In 2009, King of the Deathmatch. In the first round, you wrestled DJ Hyde, who's now the owner of CZW. You know, what was that like, you know, your whole, you know, situation with him? How did everything go?
You know, everything was straight. You know, there's always been a mutual respect between me and DJ. I don't understand why he didn't book me more.
Yeah.
I don't even say, you know, but never had an issue with DJ, you know. Maybe that's why, because I lit his head up a few times in that match. But, you know, DJ's a competitor, you know. And I gave him what I had. That was kind of funny the way shit ended up turning out with him taking over CZW and all that.
Yeah.
Me and DJ's talked quite a few times, you know, and due to health situations and my dealings with psychopathic, we couldn't work out good dates.
Right.
But I honestly, I'd love to get back out of CZW on the East Coast. Like I said, I'm coming back here on the 14th, full scale. And, you know, pretty much everybody will know I'm back in action. I got some stuff I'm battling medically, but, you know, it is what it is, and I keep fighting that too. But I'm ready. You know, I've been gone almost 8-9 months out of the ring. And it's time for me to get back in the swing of things.
What was your favorite match you ever had?
Oh, man. There's been a bunch, honestly. There's been a lot. I'm going to have to name probably top five. Me and Mitch Page's feud was one of my favorites of all time. You know, here's 4 or 5 matches out of there. That was unbelievable. My matches with Ian, we had some unbelievable matches in Milwaukee and IWA, but, you know, Milwaukee really set the standards of, you know, what we did here, son, at the Knights of Columbus and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Working Scott Hall was great. Vampiro, Sabu. Working with Chris Candido, working with Hawk, teaming with Hawk, beating the shit out of Corporal Punishment was great. You know, there's quite a few I can just, you know what I'm saying? It's so hard to list, you know, top matches, you know.
Sure.
Me and Tuto Tony tagging against Pondo Necker was great. Me and Trent Acid, I loved me and Trent's matches. I really did. Me and Trent's matches were great. Me and J.C. Bailey's match at the Hardcore Cup in Milwaukee was great. Working with Doug Gilbert and Tommy Rich and them guys. I mean, I could just go on for – I mean, we could be on here another 2 hours if I was on the list.
<All right.
laughs> You know what I'm saying?
Cool.
I've had the honor and privilege to wrestle a lot of the best in the business business, from icons to indie guys. And I thank God every day for the honor and the privilege to be in the ring with them guys.
Who do you think, again, it might be hard to actually put like a pinpoint on a one person or anything like that, but who do you think, if you had to say, would be the toughest guy you've been in the ring with?
Oh, man. You are coming up with them tonight. I'd have to say it'd be a toss-up between probably 4 guys. I would say Masada, Necro Butcher, Ian, and Vampiro.
Wow.
And Miss Page. That's five.
Okay.
Pondo too. You know, I throw Pondo in that mix for me, and Pondo was a different level, but them for Nick Gage as well. Nick Gage was really a great to work with there as far as toughness. But I mean, as far as toughness, you know, Necro Butcher, Dylan, Masada, Ian, them guys are in a class of their own when it comes to toughness. And that's flat out. Another guy, Danny Havoc, Dysfunction. Them guys
are
great. Drake Younger's a great. As far as tough guys, God, it'd take me a minute to try to list all of them, but, you know, them guys are, I would say, the top of the top. There's a list. Simon Says, for the size he is. Definitely from the old school, I'd say Necro, Ian, Masada, them guys, New School, Drake, Danny Havoc. Good one of them guys.
All right. Well, yeah, I don't want to keep you on all night. So,
you're good.
Talk a little bit about your upcoming match on the 14th.
I'm pretty excited. It's pretty much a heat match. You got myself, Suicide Kid, and Harry Palmer, which haven't been in a while, going up against Ox Harley, Mark Wolf, and Phoenix. And if you know the history of all at IWA, that right there, you know, I mean, I literally beat Ox's ass in the middle of the locker room. Suicide Kid and Mark Wolf got massive heat from their girl, you know. It was Mark's girlfriend, ended up being Suicide Kid's baby's mama.
Oh, wow.
Harry Palmer and Phoenix, they got pretty much their own heat going on there. So it's going to be, you know, an epic match. We're at the Colgate Gym in Clarksville, Indiana. So it's a spot that Southern Indiana fans know really well. And they're getting a great card. You got Ian and Axel teaming up against Simon Says and a mystery partner.
Yeah.
You got Devin Moore versus Jimmy Jacobs in a light heavyweight title match. You got BJ Whitmer versus Sabu. You got Tarik the Great coming out of retirement versus Jonathan Grissom for the 0-1 USA Junior title. You know, there's some great, great matches. If you're an indie fan, you cannot go wrong with this card. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Ian's pulling out non-stops on this thing. You know, he's pulling out non-stops. There's epic match after epic match. And if you ever know about an NBA card, you know, it's usually pretty, pretty solid top to bottom. But, you know, This is finally coming back to the Colgate Gym. This is the first time I've been back to Southern Indiana in over 3 years. So it's gonna be a great time to get down there and, you know, get to chill with the fans and do my thing and be in an IWA ring. It's been so long. I'm just happy to be in front of the fans again. You know, the best thing about IWA fans, just like CZW guys, are loyal. They love you to death and they respect for what you've done. And I can't wait. I really can. I'm super excited. It'll be the first major appearance I've made in almost 9 months. So, you know, I'm hoping people get to come out and get to peep it out, or at least buy the DVD, you know what I'm saying? For you East Coast fans that travel to Canada, you know, this might be a show that you get in a car and come see, you know what I'm saying? This is going to have some of your all-time favorites, some of your all-time guys that you didn't think you'd get to see again in the ring, they're going to be there. And I'm going to be on a rampage. That's 100%.
Nice.
For the first time, my kid gets to see me live, too, and that's just kind of an added bonus I'm throwing in there right now. But I'm going to be in rare form.
Great.
I'm going to be in rare form. I'm going to throw it out. I'm going to go balls of the wall, you know, 100%. And I can't wait, you know, so it's going to be good shit. And hopefully I can get out and see you guys, man. So you can get out there to the East Coast again, get with DJ and them guys, get out there, do some CZW shows. I know most of them guys. I'm pretty respectful. And looks like I'm back in action now, so
Yeah.
You know, we'll see what happens, man. It's been a pleasure, brother. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Absolutely. Anything else you want to shout out or plug or anything?
Hey, man, just check out IWMSSouthWrestling.com. Check out the shows. Be ready. It's going down. And for you fans, I'll be on Twitter soon. I haven't made the big announcement yet on there, or I haven't even messed with it in about 9 months, but I'm going to. You know, check out Blog Talk Radio. You know, you guys are the shit. You know, you guys are awesome.
Man.
Keeping independent wrestling alive. That's what it's all about. You know,
yeah.
We want to thank you guys for that, man. Because without you guys, we wouldn't be shit. Oh, by the way, Zach Gallen's fighting Reed Bentley too. That match is gonna be the shit.
Yeah.
And I had one I just remembered out of nowhere. But
yeah.
Zach's gonna be on that show, and yeah, it's gonna be a great show, man. Hopefully, I'll see you out there, man.
Yeah, it's a long trip, man.
It is, man.
I'll definitely check
together.
That DVD, though.
Oh, 100%, 100%. You know Smart Mark Video be in the house.
Excellent.
And anytime you want me back, you want to talk some more stuff, let me know, brother. I'll be more
Absolutely,
than
man. You're welcome back anytime.
It's a pleasure, brother. Thank you, guys.
All right, man. Have a good night, Corp.
You too, brother.
All right. Thanks. So there you go, everybody. It's Corporal Robinson. I thought he gave an absolutely great interview. I enjoyed having him on. Like I said, you know, have him back on anytime. You know, people, you know, send me questions or, you know, there's a bunch you got to, you know, you'd like to hear from him. By all means, I'll try to get him back on and, you know, I'll ask him some more questions. He's a very, very straightforward dude. You know, just great to have on. So, what I think I'm going to do now is I'm going to play, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to play something by request, and you know who you are, so I'm going to play something I've played before, hit the bathroom, and then come back and do the CZW review, so check it out.
I wonder if you ever covered I'd Like to Get to Know You.
I'd like to get to know you.
Before I fuck you, baby!
I'd like to get to know you.
Shadowbox with your titties.
Kenny punches it up.
That would be funny. That'd be a funny session, like spanking our gang, whoever fucking the fucking is it spanking
the
our gang?
Day by day.
Oh, Jesus. And night by night when I
no.
bust a nut in your
little rascals.
No, the gang is the band is. I don't know. Spanking our gang
was
right.
Was a band.
Yeah, right. So they're like, Teddy. Sorry, this song's about getting to know somebody, and I appreciate you backing vocals here, but I just the commentary would probably do without. So this is about a couple that's just meeting together and just kind of discovering each other and getting on. So you know, this, I like to get to know you and bust the nut. In your weed, mama.
No, Ted.
Yeah. This is just about a young couple kind of grooving on each other's vibe.
So you just want to ooze and ah.
Yeah, it's just kind of your background. Just kind of harmonizing. So it's just like, I'd like to get to know you. And box your bitch titties, mama. Teddy. Teddy, we just like just a little harmony. We brought you in here because you could harmonize.
Yes, I would.
Right. I'd like to fuck your sister and make her lick your pussy while I'm deep digging a baby.
All right, hold on.
Chad, stop the recording for a second.
I'm just trying to do my thing, man. I'm just trying to do my sexy thing.
Yeah, Ted, I appreciate what you're trying to contribute artistically here. We have this song worked out. We have it arranged. We have the Wrecking Crew in here for just about another 45 minutes.
Go and do your thing.
So they're doing thing. And if we just get a little harmony from you, because you got a great, powerful sound.
Sure.
We just a little harmony, and we're just trying to add a little that flavor layer to it. But we're not looking to change the song so much, okay? Just about a couple of seconds.
To know you. Yes,
I'm going to make you my chocolate chip. Deep, dick, ball, diamond, bubble, motherfucker, baby. Okay, let's stop the recording.
Hold on, Teddy. No one's doubting your serious talent. No one is denying your talent.
I get carried away. The song is powerful.
But
the song is powerful.
Gene and I worked on the lyrics.
We worked a long time on this.
So
and it's really about a girl I met when I was in college, and we really found ourselves falling in love without being physical.
Okay.
It was just really about getting to know each other.
What's
that?
It's about a mind thing.
We got to know each other. Yeah,
okay,
just
cool.
Emotionally.
It
wasn't a physical thing.
I'm
you know,
on board.
It's just about a.
I'm on
oh, let's take from the top here. Okay. Yeah, there you go. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Is that right? That's right.
I'd like to get to know you.
Eat my fuck you with my mental dick, baby! Ted, I think you're missing the point.
Put
my big black mentally conceived dick muscle all in your cell bellum.
No. Ted,
fuck
no,
you.
No, okay. Let's go ahead and stop the recording
fuck you
for
with
that.
Imaginary!
All right, can we stop the recording, please?
Mental dick, I want to dick you down in...
Teddy, I know I said mentally and emotionally, but I didn't mean raping emotionally.
Well,
I meant,
no,
like,
you say rape, I say make love. You know?
Yeah, no, but I'm saying when it came to know her as a person, as not as a sexual creature or being, but just as an equal and an individual. Okay?
Okay.
All right, and I probably steered you. I probably put you in the wrong direction creatively a little with the whole emotional, mental thing.
You know what? Just oohs and ahs.
That's what I'm saying. Just, you know, just the harmony.
Okay.
Okay. Let's take it again.
I'd like to get to know you.
There we go.
I'd like to get to know you.
I'd like to get to know you
after I fucked you.
All
right. Your asshole, baby.
Right,
make you come bite the pillow, bitch. You know you like it.
All right, let's do it. Let's stop. You know, let's just take a lunch. Let's just take a lunch.
Yeah, so there you go. the Heat ended up finishing the Bulls as I expected. They're struggling a lot earlier in the game, but, you know, came back and, yeah, we'll put them away. So that's what I'm talking about. Now, the Knicks, I mean, that's a whole other situation. The Knicks ain't closing out shit. They, they're down 3-1, and they play tomorrow. Now, you know, you get a lot of this Knicks fan shit talk that, you know, just it just continues and continues. We both start the series, and they pretty much had themselves on to the next round playing us and talking shit about LeBron over and over and over. You know, and that's all fine. You can talk shit about who you want to, but when it comes down to it, the Knicks ain't going to the next round. We're going to be playing the Pacers in the next round. And, you know, they're a young, tough team. So they're going to give us a series and shit. And, you know, call it what you want to. I had actually read something earlier today that was really, really telling stat that Tony Mamaluke, I believe he posted earlier today, making a statement about the Knicks. And check this out. The Knicks only have one player younger than 27. And the Pacers only have one player older than 27. Not only that, the Pacers coach is only a couple months is a couple months younger than Jason Kidd. So I mean, when these teams get at it and the Pacers are, you know, making runs, this is why the Knicks look completely lost and we're just really, really not able to keep up with them on the defensive side of the board, anything. Like, even when the Celtics started creating those runs, the Knicks just looked like they didn't know what to do. There was no way they were keeping up. They couldn't get up and down the court fast enough, and that was exactly what it is. And this is why the Knicks, and I had said earlier in this series, the Knicks are about to go home, and the Knicks fans are all, oh, we're all right, don't worry about us, we'll bounce back, Melo this, that, all this nonsense. You see what happens. This is what happens. So, you know, tomorrow they play, probably get sent home. If not, then they'll go to, you know, they'll go to game six and probably get sent home there. So, you know, one way or another, the Knicks are all done. So we'll play the Pacers next round and we'll have to go from there. So that's that. The CZW show.
one piece of news that I'd like to definitely start off with before I even get into the show. I've heard from several sources, and, you know, it's online and everything else, that my least favorite referee in the entire world has lost his job, finally. So, very happy about that. Maven apparently fired him. And it actually came full circle by the end of the show, because if you noticed, the guy did not ref one single match. And then, you know, I'll make the connection when I get down to the actual results of the show, because, you know, his name didn't come up again, but, you know, anyway. The show started out with Shane Hollister defeating Andrew Everett and Caleb Konley. It was a good opening match. A couple botches here and there, but I mean, some really, really good stuff in there. And Andrew Everett is just, you know, formerly known as Chiva Kid, is just an amazing performer. Amazing. I mean, the dude, he does a springboard fucking star press to the outside like it's fucking nothing. Like, there's so many people you see do high spots that just, you know, or, you know, top rope moves. It looked like they're going to kill themselves just trying to get a rotation. This guy just, he has no problem in the world. It's like he doesn't even need to use effort in order to do these just high, high fucking risk moves. And, yeah, I mean, some of the guys, you know, you'll watch them. They'll have a fucking 8-man spot just to pull half a flip and almost break their fucking head on it. You know, and this guy, you know, you could have one or two guys and just springboard fucking star press to the outside. I mean, that's just incredible stuff. A double moonsault shit he does. He does it far more fluently than Evans used to do it. I think Ricochet was pulling it for a while. But it was kind of hit and miss when you would see it with both guys. Like, they didn't always get all the way through with it. And, I mean, those guys are some of the top high flyers in the world. I mean, taking nothing away from them. It's just a ridiculous move to do to get that much rotation. And he does that shit flawlessly. I mean, his accuracy is ridiculous. Another shit he did during the match, he did a leapfrog second rope star press. Like, the motherfucker leapfrogged the top rope, bounced off the second rope on the inside, and pulled the star press. I mean, it's just amazing, innovative shit. And I mean, the talent out of the guy is beyond. And I think he already started working or is set to start working Dragon Gate. So, you know, I mean, it is what it is. The guy's going to be signed up some fucking where. So this is another one of those situations where DJ needs to pull the fucking trigger on this dude. Don't wait and think you have all these fucking matches you can pull way off into the future. Other people are going to start booking dream matches straight up. Get him in there one-on-one against Fox. Whatever you got to do, whatever kind of little bullshit storyline, whatever you got to do, make that happen. If you can get Swan in there, make that shit happen. You know, I mean, it's just, you got to do stuff with this guy, and you got to do it immediately. Don't just fuck around on the low card with this guy for too long, because he's going to have other bookings. He's going to be double booked with anybody else, and guess who they all pick? It's going to be somebody else, you know. Gabe is going to outpay him or give him better opportunities or some shit, and you just ain't going to see him anymore. So, especially after only really working a handful of shows for, you know, a couple of shows for you, there's no loyalty or anything. You go where the cash is. You go where the exposure is, and that's what's going to happen. So just do some big shit with him right away, straight up. Then you had Vea versus Jessica Havoc, and I don't give a shit. Then you had the Blackout defended CCW tag titles against the Beaver Boys. I never seen this Jonathan Silver guy or John Silver guy. He seems really good. I like the dude. And the match went, I think the match went real well. Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed the match. It was a fun match. you know, I'm so-so on Alex Reynolds. I think he's good. I think he could be better. I don't even know where this team came from. Is it just, like, kind of a patched-together team? Or what? Like I said, this John Silver dude seems good. So, I mean, maybe they should try to keep using this dude, see what they could do with him. Or, you know, what have you. I don't know. But they got to, you know, kind of focus and make something out of this tag titles again. And, you know, they don't necessarily have to just, you know, lock in and feud with somebody. But, you know, but make it a team that's teamed in CZW more than one fucking time before you give them a tag title shot. That shit don't make no sense. You know, just do something where there's some credibility or at least piece two people together that have done halfway decent or, you know, made it past the first round or something. You got one guy debuting and another guy that, you know, jobbed in the first round of the best of the best. So that's a tag title shot right there. I don't know. It's nitpicking. Like I said, it was a good match. Tremont, Joe Gacy shit. I really couldn't. There is no less I can care about this fucking feud. There really isn't. I don't give a fuck about this feud. And the thing is like, I feel bad for Tremont because I really feel like he's wasting his fucking body and, like, shaving years off of his life working fucking people like DJ Hyde and Joe Gacy. Like, how much abuse is he going to continue to take against people who will never, ever make it in this business? I mean, I guess make it as far as the, okay, DJ owns a company, but nobody gives a fuck about him as a wrestler. And the same goes for Joe Gacy, and it's always going to be that way. So, you know, Tremont, he's going to be, you know, one of these top guys in deathmatch wrestling for a while. I would expect him to be because, you know, the people across the board who really mean something in deathmatch wrestling are kind of few and far between anymore. I mean, you got your mainstays, and then you got guys that, you know, pop in and out. A lot of guys don't last that long doing it. So, I mean, if, you know, you spend the majority of the prime of your career, which, you know, I don't know if necessarily, you know, Matt Tremont's peaked or anything like that. But you are going to take a good amount of abuse, and there's going to be shit that you can't do again. There's going to be stuff you need to lean away from taking so much past abuse. And this current abuse is being put on by fucking DJ Hyde, and then and now we're going straight into Joe Gacy. So, I mean, and it takes completely the wind out of all the fucking the spark that he had. I mean, to kill someone's fucking momentum, have him wrestle DJ in a program and then have him wrestle fucking Joe Gacy in a program. Like, what exactly do you think is going to come out of that? Because no one gives a fuck about two guys he's wrestled. So you're going to have him pretty much spend like a year's time wrestling two guys that no one gives a shit about. That's, I don't know, man. I just think it's a ridiculous, ridiculous booking. And, you know, so they did the whole, like, they pretty much brought out a dog collar sometime during this thing, and like he like dog collar chained him to the fucking the corner, which he even botched out initially where the fucking dog collar came off of the turnbuckle, and you know, he had to redo that shit, Gacy. So they do that, and then he just fucking, you know, plasters fucking Tremont a bunch of times with the chair in the corner. So there was just, you know, a bunch of head trauma for fucking nothing. No one's gonna give a shit. So I just, whatever, man. That's DJ's booking. So, then you got Greg Excellent, Tracy Smothers. You know, some decent entertainment, you know, when it came down to the actual match. They did a lot too much of fucking pre-match, you know, tap dancing and shit. All of this goofy promo, fucking drawn-out, hokey shit. Too much. Too much pre-match on that shit. And, you know, it was what it was, and, you know. So Greg ended up getting a win. Then you had Danny Havoc and Lucky calling out Drake. Drake comes out, pretty much says he's going to fight everybody, and then Scotty ends up coming out, and it turns into pretty much a tag match. It was all right. They did a couple of crazy things. The big spots in this were the cinder block spots.
personally, I really like the cinder blocks as far as deathmatch wrestling goes. It's a pretty simple element, and you know, for these guys who really know what they're doing, you know, and add a bump and all of that stuff, they might even be less risky than a lot of these other, you know, sharp shit. And to me, it makes more of an impact, and it's a little more fresh of an idea because it's not overdone yet. So I think there's still a lot you can do with that. And I mean, just the blunt force of someone falling on a cinder block to me makes a big impact and like a quick holy shit moment. And I really think they should utilize more of that, you know, over time, because I mean, you know, when Thumbtack Jack was getting power bombed on those fucking things, and even when Masada was just continually picking him up and spiking him on top of this pile of cinder blocks when he was doing that, it was one of the craziest fucking things during the whole tournament when they did that. So yeah, I don't know, I'm a fan of those things. Scotty's back. Scotty's in the Tournament of Death, and then you have Drake and Devin in non-tournament, so that's what you got. That apparently Masada got hurt, blew out his knee on the WSU King and Queen of the thing. So he wasn't able to work on the CZW show, so it ended up being Jake Crisp versus Pepper Parks. They have overdone the shit out of this Pepper Parks thing. I was saying for months that I don't know where they're going with that. The only way that they could actually pay off is to have like a Nick Gage. Obviously, they're not going to let him out to go do that. But have Nick Gage, or, you know, back in the day, the Hate Club would come out and just fucking destroy this guy for all this bullshit, you know, and just dragged out promos and this and that. So to just kind of throw him into like a substitute match for what was going to be Masada versus Jake, I wasn't with it at all. And I was just, you know, I'm just kind of completely checked out of that whole Pepper Parks thing. It's corny as shit to me. It's way, way overdone, which seems to be like a reoccurring theme with DJ's booking. Is instead of doing something a little bit and hoping, you know, trying to get it over, and then, you know, if it's not getting the reaction or pulling the trigger on it before you completely blow it with the crowd, he drags shit out for a ridiculous amount of time to the point where I don't even give a shit about a payoff. I don't give a fuck about a payoff. I don't care about it. It's some of those things that it's kind of like a channel changer, and maybe it's just my mind, but I know, you know, a few other people I've talked to, too, are completely checked out of some of the same shit I am. Where it's like, you know, you see some shit on TV, maybe you'll give it a chance. Okay? This shit doesn't do it for you. The next time, maybe you'll say, all right, well, maybe that was a bad episode. Or, you know, let me check out another one. You don't like that one either. The next time you see that shit on TV, you're just going to flip to the next channel. You're not going to continue to check in and see, well, I hope this goes better. Well, I hope this goes. You don't give a fuck what happens on that show forever after a certain amount of popping on there and not seeing anything you're interested in. That's just the nature of people. You know, you can't just, okay, this is boring or this is bullshit. Okay, let me check into this another 8 times and then hope there's some kind of payout. Like, I really don't understand what that's all about. So then they did something with the campaign for a better combat zone. I really don't know what they were going for. Just didn't, you know. I don't know. So then they did Shane Strickland, AR Fox, and Tommy Dreamer versus Four Loko. You know, it was a pretty fun match. They had a lot of good little spots in there. You know, some good stuff. I didn't mind the match. It was pretty good. But, you know, they're obviously trying to steer towards the Alex Colon, AR Fox thing. They've done the match before, too, and especially even just now in the finals. So again, I wouldn't draw this out too long. I wouldn't overdraw it. I wouldn't make it some fucking tease to death thing just to pull off something that the fans have already seen at least two times, possibly three, in CZW. They've already seen that match. So you can only tease that so much before you actually do it. And like I said, I would like to see Fox versus Chiva Kid fucking Andrew Everett. So, like, if you're holding Fox to this program where you tease a match that's happened for 3 months, then you're not going to be able to pull the trigger on that shit either. So, I don't know. I mean, do what you got to do. But I'd like to see a little bit more rapid fire, you know, booking as far as, like, good stuff and, you know, key matches that people really want to see. Rather than like, oh, it looks like they might be headed towards that. Like, dude, you don't have a weekly TV show. You can't do this shit where it's like, all right, this week a tease, that week a tease, and next week a pay-per-view, or 3 weeks a tease and a pay-per-view, or some shit like this. You got one show a month. So, I mean, if you're going to tease some shit, it's 2 months. It's 3 months. I mean, that's a quarter of the fucking year. Like... You really got to be careful with that shit because fans check out. They completely check out of that shit. So anyway, next match they had Sami Callihan versus DJ Hyde. Now, as I said before, you know, the big rumor everybody knew already was Sami was getting signed to the WWE or developmental or whatever you want to call it. So it's not a big surprise that that's what it was. I said it was a complete bullshit dickhead move for DJ to want to fucking put himself in a match with Sammy in order to make this Sammy's last match. I thought that was a complete selfish, ridiculous move. I really did. I still do. Always will. I've seen Sammy versus DJ enough times, and although Sammy's able to carry DJ through matches, I don't think that shit's necessary for DJ to continue to book himself in what's hot. You know, I know that he likes to do that just because, you know, he owns the company and he can, but I don't think anyone fucking wants to see it. No one wants to see DJ Hyde in a match. There was nothing, you know, out of the ordinary or that over the top or different about this match than any other match that the two of them have had. They've actually had much better, harder hitting matches and all that in the past. So it was, you know, just, I guess, another patting himself on the back that DJ wanted to do so that this guy succeeds in the WWE. He go, I was his last match in CZW. I was, you know, before he went there, he wrestled me. Look, and so there's that. What I wanted to, you know, the call back to the Lauderdale thing that was hilarious is during the match, Sammy had DJ down on the outside. He scooped up Brett and body slammed him on DJ and Brett in street clothes. And the initial funniest thing was the announcers completely no-selling that it was anybody who had a fucking first and last name, anybody who ever worked for the company, and just said, Sami Callihan's using fans as weapons. I laughed my motherfucking ass off because I was like, wow, they just no-sold him as ever fucking working there. Not like, ex-referee. Like, they just fucking, he's grabbing fans. He's swinging fans around. So he slams them on them, and Maven's standing there, like, I guess, doing crowd control. And Sammy walks right up to him and tries to get him to high-five him. He's got his hand up, and he's, like, pointing at his hand, like, high-five me. Come on. You know you want to. And you can see Maven's mouth goes, man, I can't do that. I can't do that. And then, you know, the crowd's fucking eating it up because no one likes Brett Lauderdale. And unless, you know, he gives you a ride to the show or fucking helps you get drugs. And then he fucking he picks Lauderdale up again and throws him at the ground, you know. Fucking crowd's fucking happy about that. So I thought that was really funny. Going on from that, you know, Sammy wins the match. One thing I really liked in this match too that Sammy did, he did a stalling, like a side suplex, or Anno suplex, whatever you want to call it. The the stalling suplex was ridiculous, man, because he held him up there for a fucking minute, and then he dropped him fucking. It looked like I'm the worker, so I have no idea. Apparently, you know, DJ didn't break his fucking arm, so couldn't have done it too wrong. But the way he threw his arm up there as he was going over, I was like, I thought he was going to break his fucking arm. But again, no one's hurt and all of that shit. Then I guess that he did everything absolutely perfect. I don't know. It just looked like he came really close. I don't know. But anyway, that all happened. He wins the match. Gets the mic. And pretty much just says, says something along the lines of, from the bottom of my heart, I'm sorry. I love you all. Thanks for everything. And then just leaves, you know? And I don't see anything wrong with that because, I mean, the majority of guys, they give their generic fucking speech, this big, long, soppy, sappy fucking bullshit, and then they're on the fucking indies in 6 months. You know what I mean? So you got no guarantees. You got no, you know, there's no definite, you're not locked into some fucking 5-year contract. Or, you know, there's no guarantees getting signed. I mean, Claudio was up and out the first time, and then he got signed back, and now, they did some stuff with him. Cabana was fucking there and out in fucking no time. I mean, there's tons of people that they get put in there, they never fucking make it to TV. So you never know. You hope for the best, but the same token, go through the whole fucking spiel. I mean, when it comes down to it, Sammy gave his fucking all for CZW. I mean, you look at what he put into his fucking matches. He busted his fucking ass. He put CZW on his fucking back for a while. You know, when Nick Gage went to prison, there was a lot of people who needed to step up, and a lot of people did. But in the same token, who was the crowd favorite? Who was the fucking guy that was more over than anybody in that fucking company? Sammy fucking Callahan. So, I mean, you don't need to kiss my ass as a wrestler in order for me to respect you on your way out. That's just my opinion. I mean, he obviously did his fucking thing, you know. And, hey, man, it could have been completely for himself, not like, oh, I did it for you guys. It doesn't matter. I mean, the fans out there want fucking entertainment. They want hard-hitting. They want fucking, exactly what he was giving us. So, I mean, for that, it's, thank you, Sammy, and fucking, congrats and good luck. I mean, he doesn't owe me a speech. He doesn't owe me any of that shit. So anyone with that attitude, it's like, fucking sorry he didn't run around thanking everybody personally, and who gives a shit? So anyway, that's just my opinion on that whole thing. And I've heard, a couple different people, signed and this and that, and I don't know what's a rumor, what's not. Another thing that I thought was hilarious, because I had heard a rumor not that long ago that Jay Briscoe was about to be signed. Well, a couple of weeks ago, he decided to put on Twitter that when the Delaware legalized gay marriage, he typed something like, "If you're happy about that, then congratulations. But if you try to teach my son that there's nothing wrong with that, I'll fucking shoot you." So he put that out there because that's Jay Briscoe, and prior to him being ROH world champion, he said a lot of ignorant shit on his Twitter, so, and that's just Jay Briscoe. So, but of course, being a little more in the limelight and, holding the title and all that, you're going to get called on it. So I'd imagine he probably just fucked up whatever opportunity, if there was one sitting there. And it's funny too, because also brought up by Joey Numbers on Wrestling Soup last week. He actually did a solo show, but he brought it up and he was talking about it. And it's very true. ROH was, primarily started by Rob Feinstein, who was best known for, trying to fuck boys. So, how homophobic do you really need to be? You were there since day one. Kyrie Silken, pretty openly gay dude. You know, from everything I've heard, that's not a huge secret either. I mean, you know, Jay Briscoe had no problem with being there and this and that. So, you know, he makes this crazy fucking statements, but you know where you're getting paid. You know that it's going to become a fucking issue to just make an open statement like that. And, you know, just keep your fucking mouth shut. You want to advance? You just want to keep working fucking douchebag indies forever. It just doesn't make any sense. There's some shit you just got to keep to yourself if you're in the entertainment industry, whether it's on a low level or not. Because, I mean, sure, you could probably stay, you know, hanging on the low level, but, you know. And then from what I hear, ROH pretty much told him, you got to make an apology out there, you know, on the mic in a ring, you're going to have to make an apology, and you're going to have to donate fucking money to, you know, anti-bullying, gay situation, whatever. So apparently that's what he had to do, you know, and I listened to the in-ring promo apology cut, you know, and it's a bunch of horseshit, you know, it really is. Like, you can't bullshit me for fucking 1 minute and believe that he was like, oh man, I gotta go set the record straight. People think that I hate the gays, and that's just not right. That's not something I teach in my household. It's like, get the fuck out of here. What the fuck you do? You fucking crazy as hell if you think I believe that shit. So it was just one of those things, you know, but it's just like these apologies, you know. People go out there, they do comedy bits, or they make some kind of statement that they absolutely stand behind. And as soon as the fucking media or the fucking boss or whoever the fuck jumps on them, they're, oh, I got to make an apology. But the apology isn't heartfelt. It's because you're in trouble, or it's because, you know, you're getting fucking heat for it. It's not because, oh, I truly feel I was wrong. Get the fuck out of here. This shit. Anyway, Tournament of Death. The lineup is as follows: Ron Mathis, Danny Havoc, DJ Hyde, Matt Tremont, Scotty Vortex, Lucky, Joe Gacy, and Takumi Tsukamoto. I don't know Tsukamoto's work that well. I guess a younger deathmatch worker, you know, than obviously the bigger names. You know, the Kasai's, the Ito's, the Kobayashi's, those guys. So, you know, and I'm sure these Japanese deathmatch workers, they don't fuck around. They come over here and they work hard. I thought Takeda worked well. I thought Numazawa worked well over here. I really haven't been Miyamoto was fantastic over here. I wasn't ever really upset with anybody that came over from BJW. And, you know, especially in the Tournament of Death. So I'm sure the guy's going to be impressive. It's just a name that's, you know, it's not immediately going to pop the crowd because they don't know him yet. So by, you know, the end of his first match, I'm sure people are going to get behind him and they're really going to have a different feeling for the guy. But they're going to have to get to know him through this tournament. So that's the big difference there. Joe Gacy, no one cares. They're going to continue to try to push this guy as much as humanly possible. He had a match that no one gave a shit about last year, a Tournament of Death, against his partner, Ryan Slater, who I don't know where the fuck he went. But, you know, all sorts of fucking just, as Larry referred to it, fuckery in the ring. And, you know, it was no one cared. I mean, there was a bunch of reckless-ass spots, and that was the only thing that was ever talked about that match. After that match, so you know, no one was calling him good for it, or again, you know, they spun off of that into now he works Tremont instead of DJ, so they're doing some more of that. Lucky, I mean, I don't know, he's able to do a lot of things. They can probably use him pretty well in this tournament, if used right. Yeah, I don't know exactly, you know, how far he's willing to go in this stuff. I know he was in it last year, did the whole scaffold match joint. He could definitely do some real, you know, big high spots and, you know, high flying mixed into that. And I do like that. I do like when the, you know, the smaller guys are able to do the death matches, because it, you know, it opens up the window to like so many more athletic moves mixed into death match wrestling, which is, you know, refreshing. Scotty's back. Scotty's in it. I don't know. I mean, Scotty already won the tournament once. A lot of the same stuff out of Scotty generally. You know, he'll do his thing, but I don't think there's going to be anything out of the ordinary or mind-blowing out of what Scotty does in the tournament. And, you know, not hating, I'm just saying, like, that's just my feeling on it. I mean, he's a cool dude, and you know, I'm not against having the dude back or anything like that. I just don't think he's going to be blowing any minds, you know, overall tournament of death. Tremont, I mean, he's just hands down expected to win this. He was kind of expected to win last year. They did the whole DJ screw job nonsense. And this is, I don't know, man. It's like, it's so predictable for him to win this, but there's really no one else in this that I think should. If Rory was in it, I'd say you fucking turn it and give it to him. Rory's not even in it, and I have no fucking idea why. I have no idea why they wouldn't put him in it. He stepped up his game 1,000,000%. He spent all sorts of time over in Japan learning tons of shit, and I have no fucking clue why they wouldn't put Rory in this fucking tournament. So that's beyond me. DJ Hyde's in the tournament. Again, what's the fucking need for this? I don't know. You know, Danny's done everything possible in death matches, and he definitely 100% belongs in this tournament. So, you know, he's one of the guys that all day I'm fucking very happy with him being in the tournament. As always, he, you know, he's a CZW mainstay, one of the best death match wrestlers in you know, in the country. And, you know, what do you expect? Ron Mathis, last entrant. I think he's going to be awesome. Honestly, I think he's going to go out there and fucking kill himself in this tournament. I honestly think he's going to do big shit and really try to make his name known. You know, I'm not fucking Ron Mathis, so I don't know, you know, what's going through his mind or anything like that, but I have a feeling like he's really going to try to make an impact on this. And, you know, looking forward to it. You know, tournament, that's always a fun show. You know, if nothing else. So, you know. And then, like I said, non-tournament, Drake Younger, Devin Moore. Tommy Dreamer's going to be there in whatever non-tournament capacity. You know. I think it'd be just kind of cool for Tommy Dreamer to be there and actually witness a tournament of death. You know, seeing as, you know, Innovator of Violence, and he's been around ECW for all that time. It's just kind of cool to see, you know, him to actually be there and, as I said, witness. And I was just kind of making another lap on the same statement, but, you know, to actually witness Tournament of Death, so that'd be kind of cool. I did not finish watching the PWG show or shows yet, so I definitely will. When I got to CZW, I just tried to, you know, speed through and, you know, get through that first. So I didn't finish watching the PWG show, which I definitely will, hopefully before next week. I got a bunch of guests lined up within the next coming weeks. You know, I just gave you Corp. Next week, actually, what my plan is next week I'm actually going to interview Lyle. Lyle, for those who don't know Lyle, the guy is, I would consider Lyle Williams the best photographer on the indies. He takes pictures for CZW, Chikara, I mean, just across the board. And the guy's just unbelievable dude. Super, super cool guy. He's been doing this with CZW for a long, long time. You know, and to get the perspective of a guy too, that's between the action, you could be front row and you're pretty close to the action.
This is a guy you couldn't be any closer to the action than where Lyle is. You know, he's running around the ring. He's trying to get his spots. He's watching a good amount of these matches through the lens of a camera. So I definitely want to get some stories and some perspective from him, because I really think that that's a very interesting way to be involved in the wrestling business. And it's a very big way, because it does, you know, his pictures definitely help promote so much within wrestling. And definitely looking forward to talking to him next week. And I have a couple other guests lined up too. Definitely a handful. And I'll, you know, as we get closer, I'll, you know, talk about them. I want to, a couple of the promos I got. Stern Nation.
This week on Stern Nation, we are back with a fabulous episode. This week was jam-packed full of amazing guests, and we will break them all down for you. Plus the Vortex, street interviews from Howard's hometown, and much, much more. Listen to us live on Ustream. Get your listening links at sternnationpodcast.com and chat with us Thursday night at 8:30 at sternsuperfan.com.
Yeah, definitely. So definitely check Andrew and Stephanie out tomorrow with that. Sports Den when I'm done here.
Hey, what's up, Yakuza Kick Radio fans? It's your man, Nick Russell, a.k.a. Gran Oso Negro, letting you guys know to always check out the Sports Den right here on UTNSports.com every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. Tonight's show, the hockey gods have blessed the den, and war has ensued between the big man and the chef as the Rangers and Bruins battle it out in the Eastern Conference semifinals. We'll break that down along with all the other hockey matchups. Also, the Heat are on the verge of beating the Bulls, and the Knicks are on life support as they're down 3-1. But Oso Negro has faith and explain to you how the Knicks can get back into the series. Also, we'll break down baseball, try maybe get into a little wrestling. All bets will definitely be off at the 11 o'clock hour, and much, much more. So again, check out the Sports Den starring myself, the Chef Paul Duty, and Ravishing Roy Herman on the Universal Takeover Network, UTNSports.com.
Women love wrestling too.
We're Canadian. We sound like white girls, but we're black. Plus, we love wrestling. We make fun of others and ourselves. Join Melanie and Corey every Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Listen live on Blog Talk Radio. Subscribe and download on iTunes for free. WomenLoveWrestling.com. We're not your average chick.
Definitely. And then I'm trying to find the wrestling soup. Ah, Jesus Christ. Just when you think you got it all. There it is. Hey, wrestling soup.
Shut the fuck up if you will. But this is down.
Don't show me numbers that rules. Fucking game.
15 p.m.
Thursday night.
Wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely. So check all of that out, for sure. Like I said, I got a bunch lined up for everybody. I'm going to continue to bring it. And so, yeah, just keep tuning in. I'll check you motherfuckers out next week. I think that's about all I got.
Listen to Yakuza Kick Radio Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, at www.blogtalkradio.com/Yakuza. That's YAKUZA.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. That's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
We're taking over. We're